Stars Wheelchair listeners, hey, this is Dave. Sorry for not being there this week, but I hate to inconvenience everybody, but we need to talk about, Brandon, we need to talk about next week's schedule, when we're going to record our podcast. So, okay. Could you do next Wednesday at, let's say, 4:23 p.m.?
Maybe 4:24. How about that?
Oh, I don't think that's going to work. Amy has a yoga workout scheduled for me. So if Wednesday at 4:24 is not going to work.
For you?
Yeah, for yoga, that's going to take 2 minutes. So that's going to ruin the rest of the night. So we're going to go to Thursday. So Thursday. So like, okay, I got to get there. I got to go there. I got to go there. So check with Amy. So how about 6:30 on Thursday? How does that work?
What about 6:31?
Fuck! God damn it! Nope, that's not gonna work. Thursday is gonna work.
Okay.
So, wait, hold on now. Thursday at 6:42 might work, but let's talk about Friday, possibly, maybe. So the Renaissance Festival is on Saturday, so Friday.
Wait, no, no, Friday.
You need my sleep. Yeah.
You've got your club. Remember that? The Liberals Eating Babies Club.
No, that's my haircut that's scheduled. That'll take
That'll
take a minute and a half.
Okay.
So let's go back to Thursday. So possibly if we could do it remotely between 7:30.
It takes you a minute and a half for that haircut?
God yeah, because I'm a bald piece of shit. And
we need to... No, you're getting ripped off.
So could we do it remotely for 22 minutes on Thursday night before the pregame of Thursday night football because the Steelers might play, but I haven't checked the schedule yet.
Oh, and then when you pass out on my couch, I've got to give you the microfiber blanket, because otherwise you get pissed off.
Exactly. Is the microfiber blanket made of gluten?
No.
Oh, no. Okay,
it's
good.
It's gluten-free.
So that's... I don't have to take the pill.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect, 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 perfect. Okay, so, I guess here we go, right?
Yeah, so, I think we're good.
Okay, so everybody, hold on tight. We're about to...
will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
What we're talking, we're going full fucking liberal.
I needed some fucking comeuppance from you guys last week, and I took it out all on Ben on the intro. So, Ben, I don't apologize to you. You Gen Zers are soft as fuck, and it's okay. We love you.
You calling them snowflake?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Us millennials and what's my generation again?
I think you're a boomer.
No. Fuck
no.
You.
Or the one after Gen Z?
No, I don't know. Whatever. We're in cahoots. Let me say that.
you're in cahoots with the boomers.
We don't know who we are. No. But in all seriousness, that's my wine glass falling on the table.
He's slamming his wine glass.
Yeah. So let's just say this. You're not.
I'm not hammered. No.
I'm hammered.
You're hammered.
And I'm about to go the fuck off. Because,
all right.
In all seriousness, most of you listening to us are liberals, you're progressive, you're Democrats. And I understand that you're frustrated with the status of your own party, the status of your president. But at this point, we have to take what we can get. And there's a big time election going for the midterms coming up really, really, really soon. And it's going to be the difference between the Democratic Party being able to advance its agenda or a state of gridlock. It's not going to advance the Republican agenda because Joe Biden's the president. But I'm going to tell you, do we want a stalemate for 2 years? Or do we want a goddamn situation going on where we can solve some of our country's problems before the next presidential election? So the big topic we're going to tackle at the beginning is inflation, right?
Right. And I want to join you on the gridlock and stuff. Do you want to continue to stand by while they take away the rights and take away our Supreme Court, who's taking away... They're progressing the Christian nationalist agenda.
Yep.
And if you don't think that's true, listen to the words that they're saying. They're literally saying, we want a Christian nationalist agenda.
Absolutely. So, before you go to vote, think about this tracker that I found today that it's true, because this is straight data. This is straight data, man. Like, I sound like Sarah Palin's. Pardon me, it's the fucking Pinot Noir.
No, you're drinking Merlot, dude.
Merlot. Even worse. It's the shittiest red wine you can fucking...
No, Merlot, if you could actually do some Merlot. You're not drinking the greatest Merlot.
It's Yellowtail. It's okay. It's okay. Yellowtail. We're digressing together. Okay. And we're going to move on. So, Republican vote tracker. 0% of congressmen in the Republican Party voted for cheap gas. 0% for cheaper insulin. 0% for child tax credits. 0% for stimulus checks. 0% for gerrymandering. 0% for the Voting Rights Act. 1% to fight domestic terrorism. 4% to keep birth control legal. 4% for background checks. 6% for more baby formula. 13% to stop domestic violence. 13% to stop domestic violence. Think about that. 60% for veteran cancer care. 23% for legal gay marriage. 32% to uphold the last election, which has 100% validity. So this election is about rationalism versus irrational ideology.
Yeah, it's when you're talking to your fellow Republican or your neighbor or whatever, and they're arguing from something that is wrong in the first place. So, mm-hmm. So there's no way to argue against them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a argument from something that's untrue. So mm-hmm. You have to establish what you're arguing for. So you want to go back to the Socratic method, like, okay, so the election was rigged. Tell me how that was rigged.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that affected the election. So you got to ask questions before you confront them.
And
so
apparently the Socratic method only works based upon the responses that are given. People focus on the questioning aspect of Socrates. But if you don't have responses based in any type of factual evidence, the method is void, correct?
It is correct. And then you can, but that's when you get to fight back. So it's like, so tell me about this election that was rigged. Well, they were the machines were done, and they weren't counting the votes properly. They weren't able to monitor votes. So how were they not able to monitor votes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't allowed in election places. Why weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're always responding questions. To the very last argument to form your question.
Yeah. And that's where it breaks down. Like,
mm-hmm.
So Dave, if I was to say, Dave, mm-hmm. You're drunk.
Yes.
How much wine have you had to drink?
Enough.
Enough? What's correct. Enough? What do you find enough?
1.34 bottles.
Okay.
But the whole premise of it is...
But I got to exactly...
And the idea of the Socratic method isn't to stump somebody. It's to create a dialogue based in reason and evidence that creates to new learning.
Right.
And when you don't have that other piece on the other end of the questioning, it makes the Socratic method null and void.
I don't think it makes it
not the method, but it makes that experience null and void.
But they can just ignore you anyway and just continue going to what they believe. So exactly. If it's like if I said, hey,
it's about not what you believe, it's about what you know and what's true.
Yeah. I'd be like, Dave, be like, how much wine have you had to drink tonight? Like, tell me what wine is. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. Okay, wine is this. Like, well, what's a bottle? And you'd be like, well, a bottle of wine is this. I mean,
you know you're pissing me off right now. Because I feel like you're asking me this shit, and I don't give a fuck. Because I've got a good buzz off some good yellowtail fucking Kroger-ass wine. And I'm okay. So let's go back to the midterms.
Okay.
All right. We're back to the midterms. The issue is this. Most Americans cast their vote, which sways from Republican to Democrat, based upon how they're doing at home. And how people are doing at home is actually okay. Because unemployment is at a very remarkable level of low, almost historical low.
4.8.
And that is kind of counterbalanced with some inflation in which people are paying more money for the things that they want and the things that they need. And that's not to be undenied that people are paying more for what they want and what they need. But the assumption is that the fact that inflation is occurring is at the hands of the party in charge. And that is not true.
No.
No, it's not true at all. So if the inflation is not a part of who is in charge, who is responsible for that inflation?
Well, it's not that complicated. So you have supply and demand, which is your basic economics. COVID is a huge part of that. So
because everybody wants everything right now. Supply and demand is like at an all-time high.
So you took the supply away, and now the demand went up, and you're trying to meet that demand. So the supply is trying to go up, demand's trying to go up, so the prices go up. That is a part of it. Mm-hmm. You also have... Yeah, put your wine down, dude.
I'm holding it for you. So I'm going to make sure we're sharing. So I have to put it down, but I apologize for the noise that's going on.
Yeah. You also have the war in Ukraine. It's part of that. It's the gas and oil production, which is driving up oil production. And oil production is part of a lot of production. It's not just gas money. It's your t-shirt that you wear, the plastics. Everything has oil in it. And that rising up...
Which is why I feel hydrated despite all the wine I'm drinking. Correct.
Correct. Continue. Yeah. So you... Damn it, you threw me off my fucking board. So that's part of it. It's more expensive just to buy a t-shirt. It's also more expensive to buy your glasses. Mm-hmm. Because the plastics in your glasses... It's part of that. I'm looking at the headphones that we're wearing. It'd be more expensive today to buy these than we did when we first started this podcast because the oil is more expensive. Mm-hmm. So that has a retainer effect. And also, companies are going, hey, we can charge more because we can blame it on inflation.
Absolutely. So the cost of materials and the cost of the products that we're paying... They don't match, do they? They don't match at all.
No, they don't.
Right. So the cost of the products are up, but they don't match inflation. That's oil. That's everything you're paying for.
Yeah, and if you actually look at it, if inflation is up, and that's because things are costing more, then why do companies have record profits?
Absolutely. The oil companies have record profits. Every company has record profits because they're making so much money off of the supply that they have. Even though they have a limited supply, the profit that they're making off of it is exponential compared to what they've done in the past.
Exactly. So if you have a company that charges, before the pandemic, it was, I'm going to charge you $20 for that haircut, Dave. And I go, ooh. Inflation's gone up 18%, so I'm going to charge you $22 for that haircut. And I go, hey, fuck. There's a bunch of Daves that want their haircut. I'm like, I want $25. That $3 increase, that's not part of inflation of the cost, it's part of inflation.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So I'm raising the inflation because I can, because I'm a big company.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the inflation.
Correct. So that goes counterbalance to the Republican argument that the solution to inflation is lower taxes and deregulation. The only thing that would fix this is actual regulation.
Oh, if you want the best argument for deregulation, look at the 2008
housing crisis.
The housing crisis.
Yeah.
That was because of deregulation.
Right.
There is no argument that says that wasn't part of deregulation.
Right. Regulation keeps prices in control. It keeps safety of products. Like, I can't even think about examples about how deregulation has keeping products that we buy safe. The auto industry is number one example.
Well, in 1950s, 1960s, you had the best economy in America. And it fell apart in the 70s and 80s and 90s because of deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have billionaires back then. Even in the 20s, you didn't have them because they were regulated.
Yeah.
And they're destroying our economy. They're destroying your livelihood.
And here's the crazy thing about regulation. Regulation makes products and services of higher quality, which increases demand, which allows businesses to increase prices, which people will respond to because products are better, products are safer. Regulation actually helps a pure capitalist society. It doesn't constrain businesses. It fosters competition.
And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe in business.
No.
Businesses thrive on being like told not what to do.
Right.
Like, you can't send a man to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, it's that
it says
kind of thing.
You can send a man to the moon, but you need to do these things to make sure they don't catch on fire on the way.
Right, right.
Yeah. Regulation is necessary control to that fictitious invisible hand of Adam Smith. Because capitalism in the Adam Smith form is pure philosophy. It doesn't work completely in reality. So when you add regulation and you add appropriate taxation to the idea of a capitalist model, it can work to a level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not evil.
No.
Us socialists aren't evil. We don't want to say, like, no, you can't earn money and do shit.
No.
But we're just saying, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, you can't just dictate whatever
right.
you want.
Not all billionaires are evil, but the idea that billionaires exist is evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you need $1 billion for?
Absolutely. So the person who, what's the sportswear company, the billionaire CEO that's kind of Patagonia
is what you're talking about. He says, oh, you want to go into this real quick? I'll do a real quick flash down on
this. The answer no is not acceptable, so go ahead.
So, the Patagonia owner, he wants to put all his profits into saving the environment. Mm-hmm. So he put it into a charity fund. You know where that charity fund's going to?
Where?
His children.
Hmm.
So they get to control all the money that's coming from Patagonia. You know who inherits Patagonia when he dies? His children.
His children. Yeah.
So it's not...
That's the wine again, by the way.
I know. Yeah.
That's not the wine.
That's him like, did I hit this?
Did I hit that?
Oh, okay. So yeah. So it's he went through a charity 501(c), which is what you would need to put all your money into a charity to go to a cause that you want. He put it into a 501(c), which is where you get to put it in somewhere that someone else decides where you want your money to go. So he didn't...
The D means dickish if you don't want to do a 503(c).
Yeah. So He just gave it to his family to decide what mm-hmm. is going to go. So he didn't donate it to charity mm-hmm. or to the environment. He donated it to his family who's inheriting the business. Yeah.
Billionaireism and doesn't exist because ingenuity and being the best of the best, it is a systemic result of the lack of taxation and regulation that controls, you know,
yeah,
the entire fucking world of supposed capitalism. Yeah.
And you know why he did that?
Why?
To escape escape taxes, because he would have had to pay $1 billion if he gave it to a normal charity. He would have paid $1 billion. When giving it to this 501D, that's what it was. He only has to pay $11.3 million.
Yeah. So for all of you out there that are pure capitalists, if you don't believe in deregulation, appropriate corporate taxation, you are not a capitalist. It's not possible. Because you are a corporatist.
Ooh, an oligarch.
An oligarch. Yes, it's true. You're a fucking Russian ball licker. Fuck you.
So any billionaire out there, you will find it hard not to find them escaping taxes, mm-hmm. no matter how good you think they are.
And what sucks is that the key to keeping something pure capitalist as much as possible within a well-regulated system is that we don't have monopolies. Monopolism is a characteristic of corporatism that runs runs opposite of capitalism more than socialism does. And we have a system today that fosters these mega corporations that run amiss to any level of, you know, monopolies.
Oh, you know a fun fact?
Fun fact, yeah.
Is that when the Republicans were railing against Twitter
mm-hmm.
about not letting them speak, like hate speech and misinformation and shit like that, they were railing against about a monopoly, which is what us liberals and socialists have been railing against. Thank you for joining our cause.
And these monopolies, like, not only do they dominate the economy and they create these abnormal levels of wealth that are beyond the scope of any average person, but they control our behavior. So when you take a company like Amazon, who we talk philosophically that, you know, it's ridiculous that one company owns the access to almost every product that we buy, and we're against it. But as consumers, we have budgets and we care about price, and our only option is to go to that oligarch.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And to buy it. So am I two-faced for buying from Amazon? Absolutely.
Yeah, we're hypocrites.
But I have to make that economic decision.
Hey, do you remember that time when I was like, hey, Dave, look at my vinyl I got for Dead Kennedys.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah,
do you remember how proud I was?
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to Amazon first.
Oh.
I did. And it was like $30.
Mm.
I was like, damn. All right, so I went to a local one in Newport, and I bought it for $45.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And every time I fucking listen to that album, I'm just like, Jell-O would be proud of me.
Yeah. Because if you bought it from Amazon, it would go completely against any philosophical idea that the Dead Kennedys would
bring
through their music.
Yeah.
So why listen to him? Why buy him if you're going to, like, say, fuck you? Hey. You bought him from Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad that I buy shit from Amazon. I do. It's so easy. It's so easy. Like,
it shows up tomorrow.
Or today. Like, I bought shit.
Fucking
like,
today, I know.
Like, but, like, I need this today. And I, like, go on Amazon. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's coming today. 2 hours later, it's on my door.
click. I know. I hear it.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate myself for it. And I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. Yeah. It is so, so fucking
easy. So, at the end of the day, this country needs to move forward. This country needs to create a government that is functional, that can pass rules and laws that make sense to the American public.
Oh, okay. No, I'm going to jump on that. So, we've been talking about, like, the rules and laws and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have been jumping on the Democrats about how they can't do anything, and mm-hmm. they doing an inflation and whatnot. So I play the game with myself.
With yourself? This is political political masturbation, and I like it.
So I read one of these tweets when they were like, Democrats. Expenditures is out of control. It's causing inflation. Blah blah. So I went, if I was a Republican, what would my solution be? And I went, cut taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at all the senators, Republican senators' ideas for cutting inflation. It was all cutting taxes. And I was just like, that was a joke to myself.
Right. So you're going to cut the taxes of the people that are causing the inflation.
Or just, how is that going to... What does taxation of the people have to do with inflation?
Nothing.
I thought it was printing more money, more expenditure that didn't make sense. That's what I thought it was. That's what you've been telling me. So right. Cutting taxes?
Yeah. They're speaking to people who don't understand, so let's just stop there. So, it's desperation time, everybody. The election is in a few weeks. We have the control of the House, the control of the Senate, up for election. And it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be progress, depending on the idea that the Democrats can get things done, which I'm not confident about.
Nope.
Not at all. Or the guarantee of a complete stalemate within the last 2 years. So inflation is a real deal. We are paying more for stuff, but let me tell you for sure, it's the reason that businesses and big business is charging you more that is not commensurate with the cost that they are incurring.
Right. And when they say it's Biden's inflation.
No.
Just think, it's happening worldwide. And the U.S. is one of the lower countries yes. that are suffering.
Absolutely.
So, if Biden was affecting the inflation, good job, Biden, for keeping it lower. But he's not really controlling it. So, that's the problem, is no one really thinks about the economy in the world. There's no politician that's running for Congress going, hey, here's where we stand in the world. It's, well, I play football, so I get to decide what the inflation means to our national debt. And you're like, well, that two and two, right. like three don't yeah. make... Like, what?
And if you really want to think about it economically, everybody out there, you have a job. It pays well because you have leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You might be paying more for products and services, but it's not because of Democratic policies.
It's not because of Joe Biden. It really isn't.
It's because of deregulation.
It's because you don't understand
taxation of corporate America.
You don't understand the economics because... Republicans been defunding the Department of Education for decades, so you don't actually get taught that. So you really don't understand what's mm-hmm. happening. They want to keep you dumb, and they want to keep you ill-informed so they can
manipulate your ass.
Yeah.
Anti-intellectualism is the keystone of the Democratic Party. Information, knowledge, education is the enemy. That's the only fucking thing that we have.
I have not spoken to a Republican in 2 decades that actually challenged me on economic policy.
No.
And I did my A-levels in England and stuff, and it's university level kind of thing. And not one has actually challenged me on something that I can't answer.
Right.
So challenge me. Mm-hmm. Come on, listeners.
Yeah, challenge me. Do it. Send it to
Because the arguments you have are fucking baseline elementary shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fucking sick of it. And when you tell me that it's happening because Joe Biden, just it's cringeworthy. It's arguing. It's like saying to a 10-year-old, "What causes inflation?" Biden.
Right.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done with this shit. I'm done fucking holding your hand and talking to you about how economics works. Yep.
So voters out there.
So grow the fuck up.
Grow the fuck up.
And actually challenge me on something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm challenging the president. And just don't say, well, Biden's policies. He said it was a anti-inflation policy. Well, do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. Do you know what it means? Do you know what inflation is?
No.
Tell me. Actually explain what inflation is to me before we start even having this argument. Because I'm fucking done with this shit. Because
the last time I checked, the Federal Reserve has a lot more to do with inflation than the fucking president does.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. They have everything to do with it.
Well, they keep raising the inflation. It's at 3.5%. That's historically still low.
So voters out there.
Don't piss off Brandon.
Don't piss off Brandon, for sure. But
I'm ready.
There's things that we have that aren't under control. We can't control gerrymandering right now. We can't control misinformation. But what we can control is the power to vote. And I'm going to tell you right now that as a citizen of Ohio and a lot of districts out there that are not in Ohio, there are contested House districts that are in democratically controlled areas that are contestable. And that's not good news. That's good news for fucking Republicans. The only counterbalance we have right now, not in the future, is voter turnout. We can whine and cry our fucking asses off about gerrymandering and how shit's not fair. And how people don't understand economics and how they don't get inflation. But you've got to get out there and you've got to vote and you've got to tell people the fucking truth. You've got to talk about why inflation happens. It's not rocket science that we're paying more for shit because of deregulation. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with it at fucking all. So stop fucking complaining, you pieces of shit, Democrats.
Hey, vote listeners.
And communicate.
It's Brandon. Dave's kind of gone off the rails.
I'm drunk. Fuck you.
Gone off the rails. So economics isn't complicated. It literally is a supply and demand graph that you see. So you need to... Dave's looking at me like, fuck
you. Well, I don't see a fucking graph, motherfucker.
So just look for yourselves. Research a little bit. He's trying to put the wine glass down softly so it doesn't make a noise.
Hey guys, can we stop and redo that? My name's Ben.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. So no, it just economics isn't complicated. They throw a lot of numbers and terms at you, but it literally is supply and demand. And once you understand that, you understand economics pretty much completely. Mm-hmm. There's there's Wall Street and stuff like that, but it literally is like, well, you're not going to give me enough. Well, your stocks are going to go down. You can't meet your demand. Your stocks. It. And then I'm like, oh, Dave, I want you to drink a bottle of wine a day.
Done.
And you're like, done. Oh, shit. He drank a bottle and a half. His stock is going up. It's that stupid. It really is that stupid on the stock market. He only drank a quarter of a bottle.
It's
today.
Immediate speculation. Yeah. In the moment. Speculation in the moment.
And it is people just freaking out about shit. And that's what the stock market is. And if you can predict that, if Dave was a stock market, I'd be fucking a trillionaire. Like, he says he predicts he's gonna drink a bottle of wine a day, and I'd be like, no, watch this. Insider trading. I left 2 bottles of wine outside his door. So he's drinking 3 today.
3 today.
Selling at the high.
All right. So as we get closer to midterms, we have some crazy motherfuckers running, don't we?
Oh, my God. Yeah. They're really insane.
So rational logic thinking doesn't really matter anymore. Back in the day, like 5 years ago, we would assume that if someone made a major faux pas, or if they were ridiculously, you know, making claims that were out of fucking left field, that they would be automatically disqualified. But we've got a few people there that will give you, like, an idea of how crazy it is. But at the same time, it's so contested that it gives you evidence of how wild our political system is today. So let's talk about Herschel Walker. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. And who's the third person you had mentioned earlier?
They call her Boebert.
Boebert. Oh, Lauren Boebert. So are we talking about three people that could possibly win their districts?
Yeah.
Are they clinically insane?
Well, I'm not a doctor, Dave.
But yes.
But yeah.
Are they fucking stupid?
Yes.
Yes. Are they not qualified to be in Congress?
Absolutely.
Okay. Could one or more of them suffer from CTE?
At least one.
Okay. And they could win again?
Yeah.
So this is where we're at.
Yeah.
So let's start with Herschel Walker, the sheriff. What did this motherfucker do?
You gave away my fucking reveal.
Sorry.
God damn it. What the fuck, dude?
Can we make fun of Ben to deflect?
I'm taking
from
away
this.
Your wine.
No, you're not, bitch. And I will lay it down again like that. Guys, can we redo that? Because it made a sound.
Seriously, we shouldn't be drinking when we're doing the podcast.
Continue.
So, Herschel Walker recently had a debate with Raphael Warnock.
Oh, the qualified one with an education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one without brain injury. The
that's
evidence
speculation.
Shows based
speculation.
Upon what he says, the words
speculation.
That come out of his mouth. Okay, I take
Dave, you. Speculation.
Okay, devil's advocate, go ahead.
Okay. Raphael Warnock said, I have not claimed to be part of the Georgia Sheriff's Department. That's what he said. That's all he said. So Herschel Walker pulled out a prop, which is against the debate rules for Senate in Georgia.
But there's no rules anymore.
You're not allowed to pull out a prop. So, like, Dave, I know you like to win arguments with your dick. That would be considered
can you
a
see
prop.
It? Can you see it? Can you see it?
So you saw it. I win.
Is the prop the cock or the magnifying glass?
It doesn't matter. It's a prop.
You want to hear a funny story today?
Nope.
I put my I put my boxers on backwards so my pee hole is in my butt crack. And when I sit down, my butthole hits my pants and I don't like it. Other than that, everything's fine.
Are you a Republican?
No, I just put on my boxers like a Republican.
All right, shut the fuck up.
Okay, continue.
All right, so Warnock called out Dickhead McGee, saying that no, you're not a sheriff, and he pulled out a prop, which again, is not part of the rules, and you're not allowed to do that. A honorary.
It's like
badge.
Bill Cosby getting an honorary doctorate.
It's like Bill Cosby going. It's like getting a degree from PragerU. Yes, it's real. That's a degree from PragerU, but it means shit.
Nothing, yeah.
Elvis Presley got the same thing from Richard Nixon, even though he stole black music.
Is the guy the same guy that died in a bathtub?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did all the drugs and became an honorary DEA agent and did all the drugs.
All the drugs. Look at him. Look up Elvis Presley, 1970s.
Fucked minors. And did I mentioned him stealing black music, right?
Oh, absolutely, dude.
And doing terrible, terrible movies.
Yes.
And he got a DEA agent badge.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean shit.
No.
So when Herschel Walker pulled that out, his badge, it's an honorary thing going, you showed up. Okay.
Right.
It's not a badge.
Yeah, it's like the special kid at school that gets a fucking police fire thing. Yeah.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah. It doesn't mean shit.
No. Yeah, it doesn't mean shit, and he pulled it out on stage like it meant shit, because he was saying that he was a law enforcement agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, here's my badge, and then he's like, no, they were just being, like, you kind of went and smiled and did shit.
Right.
That's right. What you did. It's not a law enforcement badge. And the right just went off and like, see, he's pro law. I'm like, oh,
what's
my God.
Scary about this is that this level of ridiculousness has a chance of winning. He is underqualified. He's anti-intellectual. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know how to make a law. He doesn't know how to write law. He doesn't know how to do anything. Warnock does. This is qualified versus unqualified. This is smart versus dumb. This is 80% to 20% vote 10 years ago. But we are living in the world of Trump. We're living in the world of the effect, the coattails of what he's left over. And nothing fucking matters. 10 years ago, if somebody pulled out a fake prompt, they would have been disqualified from the fucking debate. Everybody would have left him off the stage, and the person would have won from a supermajority. But we're not there anymore. We live in a world of irrationality. Democracy is at a desperate level, which is why I keep bringing up vote till your eyes bleed, because we have nothing else left right now. So that's him. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, God. Marjorie Taylor Greene. She got called out because she said space lasers from Jewish people would, you know, annihilate California, and that's what caused California wildfires.
Stop. Unqualified, so she's not going to win. She's going to lose, even if her Democratic opponent is that actual space alien, correct?
No, she's going to win.
No, she's going to win. Why?
Because I don't know why, but she's going to win. She's up 20% in her fucking...
She's up 20%.
Yeah.
So somebody that's puts out the Jewish space laser, and you know what? I don't care if I'm drunk. I don't care if I'm making sense. Because right now, I'm fucking qualified for Congress. I'm more qualified for Congress than Jewish space laser ass fucking cunt wad. Fuck her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't know how to explain it better.
There's nothing
than that.
No. Next person, Lauren Boebert. Go.
Okay. So in her debate, she kept saying that her opposition was Nancy Pelosi. Every time that they would come through a rebuttal, she was like, well, Nancy Pelosi here. And he would say, no, my name is Brian, whatever it is. And she'd be like, well, Nancy Pelosi here. And he'd be like, no, my name is Brian. And it wasn't even an argument. That's but she might be unseated.
Thank God. Colorado, right?
Colorado third.
So what's the poll looking like there?
Even.
Mm.
I drink your fucking wine.
Like. I need a goddamn drink because this is driving me crazy.
No, it's even right now. She might lose her fucking district, which is, would be a huge upset.
Okay, good. I can't, like, and again, like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, this fucking Dave asshole is drunk. He made fun of Ben at the beginning. I'm doing a better job. Am I not doing a better job than Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Herschel Walker in a debate?
We can make you do a better job.
Yep.
All right. Let's get an idea.
Yep.
A policy. What policy? Okay. Secure the border. Secure the border, motherfucker. You are the candidate for Arizona.
Arizona.
How would you secure the border?
How would I secure a border without building a wall?
Up to you, man.
Okay, very good. So, as a congressperson, individually, I cannot wave a magic wand to secure the border. But what I can do is I can create a process at the border to make sure that people coming into the country I know it's boring as fuck, dude. There's nothing exciting about it. But you can't solve the border crisis in an exciting fashion.
Not when you're drunk.
Not when you're drunk. Absolutely. So.
All right. We'll give you another one. Okay.
No. I'm going to go back to this one, okay? All right. Because more than 90% of the people crossing the border are coming across because they're desperate. They have no choice. They're coming across for the same reasons as people came across the Atlantic Ocean because they were desperate. The only difference is because they're not white. They're Hispanic. Okay? So when you have many people coming across the border, whether it's through a legal port or not, we have the capacity. We have the capacity to monitor and process the border and be able to filter those who are legal, not legal, but those who are coming for, you know, reasons for escape. Because they're not coming with anything on their back. If you're not coming with anything on your back, you're not here for a nefarious reason. So you can come here and you can create a normal legal process to become a legal citizen. It might take a while, but that doesn't mean you can't pay taxes. That means you can't work. That means you can't be afraid that when someone asks you your birth date or what your name is, that you refuse to answer. It's not that freaking complicated. The people that are breaking the laws to come over here for nefarious reasons are coming over for reasons that they need to come across the actual border crossing in trucks, in vans. You have a process to check those people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the people jumping over a fence in rural Texas, they're not doing shit wrong. They're escaping Guatemala. They're escaping getting shot in the fucking head for walking outside of their house. So everybody escaping over the border, jumping over the wall, jumping over the fence, they're here to come and hug the Statue of Liberty.
Their family was here long before the white Americans were here,
too. Yes. Yeah. If you're the fucking drug dealer, you're trying to sneak something in your fucking Mercedes fucking van through the fucking big ass whatever you call it.
Dave's gone full white guy. My New Balances are speaking to my head.
Saucony. But right?
No.
Individuals jumping over the border or crossing a river aren't here to sell drugs.
No.
They're here to paint your goddamn house for fucking $100.
They're here to protect their children and their family.
Right. The bad people are trying to smuggle shit through the actual
And they're still in their own country. Yeah. They're sending shit over. They're not coming.
They're not coming. Right. Yeah. I'm coming.
Wow. Hey, buddy. Well, we've as liberals and stuff, we've had a very difficult time dealing with just the misinformation that's just thrown at us. It feels like...
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. And it's just like, people say something, you're like, no, that's not true. And then you have to explain it, and then you've lost your argument already, because you're like, well, we're 30 minutes in, I've had to explain why inflation isn't because of Joe Biden, because we had to go, what is inflation, how politics affects that, and what Joe Biden's doing that. That's almost an hour long thing.
And we're trying to convince people that don't, A, want to understand, and B, can't understand.
And they've got, I did this with a sticker pointing at the gas station. And you're like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to argue that?
Yeah, because you're stupid. There's no argument. That's the problem. You started talking about this through the Socratic method. The Socratic method is to inspire rational conversation based upon a questioning method. And when you don't have the capacity to answer with information and facts and logic, then it makes the argument and the question technique null and void.
Yeah, you're right. It really does. So it's just kind of like, huh? So that's why you say vote.
You have to. We know that what's stacked against us, but if you don't go out there in masses, and we are the masses, we are the majority, you have to do it. Because even if voter turnout was ideal, we would still win despite gerrymandering. Think about that for a minute. That's massive.
Yeah. And I'll see you at the polls.
I'll see you at the polls.
I'm going to be a fucking poll worker.
Yep. So we've got 2 weeks before midterm elections. We are going to midterm the fuck out of you. Yes.
Yeah.
Say yes. Yeah. We're going to midterm the fuck out of you. We're going to give you key races. We're going to try to target people who live in districts that listen to us.
Oh, yeah. I can break that down.
And we're going to make you feel like shit if it's a Tuesday in November and it's raining and it's cold and you don't feel well and you have to work. We're going to make you feel like shit if you don't go vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the majority. Don't let them say that people listen to podcasts. We are the majority. We really are.
Listen, canvas. Go out for your candidate.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Just go out to fucking vote. You don't have to canvas.
I'm digressing with my glass of wine. I know. Motherfucker.
We are the majority. We don't have to canvas to do all that. We just have to go vote. Because your Republican neighbor is in the minority. You just have to go out and vote. If your voice wasn't so powerful, they wouldn't try to silence it. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to silence you. So fucking vote.
Fucking vote. Can I ask you a really important question?
Sure.
Brandon?
Yeah?
Has this been?
It has been.
FDR's?
A legacy of FDR in his wheelchair.